Hey again. Thank you for taking care of that hunt. I'm going to intend to get through this to the best of my ability. We'll see how that goes. We'll just keep praying for all those involved. And I do hope you'll come out in 2 weeks from today. Is it 2 weeks from today for the fellowship dinner? And just think, 2 weeks from today, it's going to be the safest fellowship dinner. Because anybody who's been sick now has immunity and so many antibodies, and the chances of us spreading anything at that point is going to be nil. So you should definitely come out for the Italian after service. It's going to be great. So with that said, we're going to begin in a moment. And again, thank God that my family is doing okay. They're all, I've hid from them for the past 4 or 5 days, and they're all fine. So let's pray it stays that way. And I think you mentioned Sarah. Mm-hmm. Her grandmother, but I think her husband's grandmother as well. And then there was just his great-grandmother passed. And just pray for Sarah and her family, because they're going through a lot right now. With that said, it's about that time. So I'm going to talk about something I've talked about before, but I think is very relevant for today. And I want to bring you back to the first Sunday that we shut down from COVID back in March 2020. Doesn't it feel like a lifetime ago? You know, pre-COVID, it feels like just a whole other world. But, you know, back in March 2020, I had very little understanding of how something like an online service was going to work. And then we jumped onto this Facebook Live platform, and we really hoped for the best. And 3 years later, we know more about COVID, we know more about this online thing, we know more about a lot of things, but back then, we spent the next year or so opening and shutting, up until about 14 months ago. And 14 months ago, we were able to navigate up to this point without shutting down until this week. And this week, again, for those who just arrived, I made the difficult decision to shut down in-person services for hopefully, prayerfully, the last time ever, because there was really no other option. I could not have been present, and many of our leaders who were key were either sick with COVID or something else as well, colds and flus, and so here we are today, back online. And thankfully, I'm coherent enough to give you a message today. Piece together a few sentences. So what I decided to do, we're going to take a one-week break from Ecclesiastes until we gather again in person on Sunday. Lord willing, right? Instead of Ecclesiastes, I want to go back to a passage that I shared with you the very first Sunday that we shut down back in March 2020. And from the passage, and I know this passage, it means a lot to many of you, it includes a verse that Anne, I don't know if Anne's on right now, but if Anne and the Holdens are, welcome, that Anne will have us memorize as a church in the next month or so. And so without further ado, if you grab your Bible, would you turn with me to a very familiar chapter, Jeremiah chapter, you know it, Jeremiah chapter 29. And we're going to turn there like we did 3 years ago. And as we turn there, let me ask you a few questions, five questions, that might tell us about the passage and might be even more relevant today than when we asked them 3 years ago. In what world do these things sound familiar? Nations in unrest and at war, Ukraine. Economic turmoil, but inflation. Political unrest and corruption. Massive cultural changes. Rampant disease. Sounds like today, doesn't it? Sounds like our world. But as we've been finding out in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. This list of difficulties I just read also reflects the days of the prophet Jeremiah, even more back then than it does today. Hear the words written in that day from Jeremiah the prophet, which he sent to the survivors in Babylon. He starts in verse 4. We'll start in verse 4 today, Jeremiah 29. You can stand or sit for the reading today. I'm not standing. It says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all those exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage. They may bear sons and daughters and multiply there, and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for it's in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to a place where I sent you into exile." The word of the Lord today. You may be seated if you were standing. Now, we've been in this 3 years. Imagine 70 years. Praise God, we're not in that boat. But you see, Jeremiah chapter 29, it was written at a time when God had taken away everything from the Israelite people. Land, culture, possessions, because their sin and rebellion against him. And he allowed the nation Babylon to conquer them and bring them in a land that was not theirs, that was pagan, was corrupt, and where their faith and morality was looked down upon. And it was in this challenging time that there were false prophets who were telling everyone, don't settle down. Don't seek the welfare of this pagan nation. God is going to destroy them anytime now. He'll restore your culture. He'll restore your homeland. He's going to make everything just like it was before. God states in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 9, "For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord." God, through Jeremiah, tells his people, "I am bringing you not around the problem, but through it." How many of us pray to go around problems? And that God is saying, no, there's a lesson we're going to learn through it. I am bringing you through this time of trial. And while you are in it, while things are not what you want them to be, instead of bowing to the pressure in fear or working yourself up in anger, becoming divided from one another, why don't you seek and pray and hold up those around you as you go through this trial together? Jeremiah 29, 10, 11 says, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed in Babylon, I will visit you. I will fulfill my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a hope, to give you a future and a hope." Notice that right in the middle of all of the hard and difficult news, we have everyone's favorite Bible verse, Jeremiah 29, 11. Where have we seen this verse? Well, obviously it's in the Bible, but we've seen it posted on Facebook, on wall hangings. We give it in graduation cards. I went to somebody's bathroom once, and there it was, printed very largely and matted on the wall in bold letters, right there as soon as you went in. Okay, so in modern times, we take this verse out of its context, and we use it to say, well, God loves me, which is true. God loves me, has really good things for me after I graduate, or when I'm praying for something I want, or apparently in certain rooms of the house. And yes, God does love you, no doubt. He wants good for you. This is true. But what does that mean in the midst of difficulty? In the midst of hard times? Because that's when the verse was given. Because that is the real context of the verse. God's faithfulness when the world feels completely uncertain. When I'm in a strange land. When I'm filled with unknowns and trials. And I can't get out of bed for 3 days because I got a COVID virus. In a world of brokenness, because that is the context of these verses. When the world feels like it's crashing down on you, that is when these words were written, and what these words are written for. To a people who are in exile, who are in hard times, God is showing them mercy and wants you, as someone who trusts in Him, to look beyond yourselves and ourselves, and to look to the community around you and to pray for them, to seek good for them, to be a blessing to them as God takes you and those around you through difficult times. You see, this passage, this verse, is not just about me or you personally, and undoubtedly not about getting something I want immediately. It's not about materialism or quick fixes to small troubles. This is a blessing in the midst of embracing the difficult circumstances as a community that God has allowed you to go through, to be in, to benefit others and not just ourselves. The letter concludes to the exiles in Jeremiah 29:28. For He has sent to us in Babylon, saying, your exile will be long. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. It's not what they wanted to hear, but it was the truth. You know, the calling of the Christian is to follow Jesus no matter the circumstances. We don't get an out because things are hard. The calling of a Christian is to follow Christ in the good and the bad, in the indifferent. Faith in Jesus is a decision to live for Him and be like Him to others, embracing God's call from you to them. It's often about rediscovering who we are in Christ Jesus as He helps us to adapt to our present place of ministry. It's about being vessels that God will use to have compassion, to redeem hearts and lives, to be a blessing in the midst of trouble as we trust Him. But we have this challenge. We need to get past ourselves. I need to get past me. And here's something to think about when we're trying to get past ourselves. Think about what we want versus what God wants and put that into perspective. Naturally, we want things like money, power, and respect. And yet, supernaturally, what does God want? He wants redemption and love and humility. We want, in our natural man and woman, stability. Supernaturally, God wants faith and trust. Naturally, we want others in our situation to change. Supernaturally, God wants to use us to present to the world a changed person, to challenge the world. And that requires the changing of us. Naturally, we want favor and blessing. Supernaturally, God wants obedience springing from faith. Naturally, we want a culture that fits me. Supernaturally, God wants a chosen people called and following Him. In the natural, we're not always on the same page as God, are we? We're not. Jeremiah told the Israelites in exile, God will get you through this. But while He is getting you through, He has placed you where you are at in the circumstances that you are in to bring much good to people who are in the same boat that you're in, and even to others who might be causing your trouble to worsen. You see, God wants to supernaturally use us in the circumstances to do powerful things. And a lot of times, that removes us from what we naturally want. It makes us very uncomfortable. But discomfort is a key thing that God uses to bring much good. And I've got to say, unless you're uncomfortable, not much actually changes. I think we talked about that last week a little bit. I'm reminded of Micah 6:8. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but Micah 6:8 is also a popular verse. And let me just read this to you. It says, "He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But excuse me. But let me start again. Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." Notice there are no addendums here. Love kindness, unless I'm having a bad day. No, we're just called to love kindness. Do justice, as long as other people are doing it to you and yours. No, we are called to do justice either way. Walk humbly. Ooh, that's a hard one. Unless others are being arrogant. No, we're called to be humble no matter how arrogant other people are. And the key to all of this is trusting God, despite the circumstances, and to follow Him. You know, there are too many books and there are too many news reports right now about how bad the world is and how hopeless everything is. And there are plenty of tallies on TV right now about death tolls. And I'm not saying that we stick our heads in the sand. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that as the family of God, as a body of believers, those things are informational. They do not determine our fate or our faith, nor should they. They do not have to tell me or you how to feel, or that all I can do is hold on. No, God is the one who's in control, even when my life feels out of control. God was in the exile with his people. And God is with us in the midst of this virus. God was in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he's right here with us now. The question is, do we recognize this or not? Do we get overwhelmed by our circumstances? Do we grow angry with our circumstances? Do we lash out? Do we get despondent with our circumstances? Or do we recognize that the Lord has told us, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." The plan to be with us through thick and thin. A plan to use us to bring hope to hopeless people. A plan to be there for one another even when other folks are in a panic. A plan of redemption. A plan to lead us out the other side. Now, I'm not pretending any of this is easy. It's not. I'm not saying we caused this to happen. I'm not saying this is what any of us have hoped and prayed for. What I am saying is that right now, this is where we are. And God has allowed us in this particular trial for this particular time to commence. It's what God has allowed. And he has a plan for us in the midst of this. But are we going to trust him? And are we going to care for each other? Are we going to love those who are scared? Are we going to help meet our neighbor's needs, seek the welfare of our town, of our street, of our city, of our nation, of our family, and of our church family? Are we going to be different, or are we going to panic and grow bitter, fearful, or pessimistic? What this all comes down to is twofold. Number one, will we trust and rely on God, to get us through the difficult times. Whether it's this week of COVID or it's something else we're going through, horrific or small or medium or large, are we going to allow and rely on God to get us through the difficult times? Whether we are in part to blame, like many during the Babylonian exile, or if we have no fault, but we simply live in a time affected by the troubles of this world, like this virus, or whatever storm you may personally might be going through. Will we lean on the one who is able to calm us and give us peace in the storm and carry us through? Number two, will we take the time that we are in to bring good despite the bad around us? Panic, fear, anger, blame, hoarding, these are not virtues that show anyone that you are trusting in Jesus. No, we are here to be ambassadors of peace in the middle of the storm. Knowing God does have a plan, and a good plan at that, not to make you materialistically rich, or even stop all your troubles with a snap of the finger, but he has a plan to make you a blessing to others, a plan to give you peace and walk with you, to give you a future and a hope as he walks with you through a storm and one day to eternal life. I'd like to end today. I know this wasn't a particularly lengthy message, but hopefully it was helpful. I want to end today, though, with Psalm 46, verses 1 to 11. I think it's very appropriate. It's actually a psalm I've read several times when a brother or sister has gone to our Lord. And it says that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage and the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. He has brought the desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Those moments of Selah are moments to pause and reflect, to think about what was just said. Let's take a few moments to pause and reflect today. Let's take a few moments to think about that the Lord is with us even in the circumstances we are in today. He's not abandoned us. He has a plan for us. The plan might not be instantaneous the way we want it to be, but he is still present. He is still good. And even in the midst of whatever is going on, he's going to use it for good. Amen. As we wrap up today, I'd like to pray over you before we dismiss. I'm going to leave the comment section open for a few more minutes in case you want to say hi or you'd like to add a prayer request for others to see. I'll also put in the comment section a way that if you'd like, you can tithe even while the church is closed, hopefully for just this Sunday. And that's at KeysersFallsAssembly.church. I'll put that in the comments section. Lord willing, again, we're going to be open next Sunday. Lord willing, we'll be open on Wednesday. We'll see how I'm doing at that point. But let's pray, and then I'll give you a few minutes in the comments section. So, Father, once again, we ask you for all those who are ill. Excuse me, Lord. All those who are ill, would you help them and would you heal them? We ask you, Lord, for Samantha's family in particular, as her father and grandmother are going through a difficult time at the moment. Would you help them and heal them? We ask you, Lord, for, again, for those in Turkey and Syria who are experiencing this horrific earthquake and what's happened after. And I pray, Lord, that there would be some miracles, that people would find loved ones alive, even days and days later. And Lord, I do pray, Lord, many of the missing would be found, not under the rubble, but having fled the area for a time. Comfort those who have lost loved ones, something like 20,000 plus. And Lord, give us strength. Bring us back together as a church family. Keep us not away from each other after this COVID scare. And I do pray, Lord, that as we gather back together, we would not gather back together in trepidation, but gather back together cautiously, but knowing that that you are in control. Keep us safe and whole and healed. And again, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. We thank you, Lord, that you are wonderful in the midst of trying times. Bless my brothers and sisters this week. I pray these things in Jesus' name. And Lord, as you've taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And amen, my friends. All right. Well, Lord willing, we'll see you soon. Again, please say hi in the comment section. And take care. And in the Samantha, the dinner, right? Please, in the comment section, if you want to sign up for the dinner stuff. So, all right. It's just, you can log off whenever you'd like. I'm just going to give a few more minutes and just say hi to people I saw. I see Sandra just made a comment. Hello, Sandra. Thank you, Leanne. I will try to feel better. I hope you and Dave are just having a spectacular day. And your kids and grandkids, too. Nancy says, quick reminder, let us know what you are bringing to the fellowship dinner. Oh, Renee, my neighbor's in here. Good to see you, Renee. And Kathy, thank you for praying for me. Thank you, Kathy. Hey, Lori, thank you. We're praying for you too, Lori, and Harvey too. Oh, Karen, see Karen in there? Oh, thank you, Karen, that's very kind. I made it through a coughing too badly. Yeah. Thank you, Patty. All right, give everybody another minute. I hope you're all having a great day. I get sick and it warms up outside. I took out the trash for the first time. Was it yesterday or something? I felt a little better yesterday. And it's like, oh my goodness, it's not negative 100 out. What was it? It was like negative 19 and the wind chill was negative 40 last week. Oh,
it's almost positive 50.
Wow, it's 50 degrees out right now?
No, not today.
Oh, not today. Okay.
I haven't been outside today. Positive
39. Oh, 39 is not bad. That's a good mug. Oh, I see Ruth. Thank you. Yeah, try to get some Sunday. I'll try. I don't know if I'll be outside that much. I got at least another day of quarantine, but thank you, Lori. All right, I'm going to let you all go now. Oh, how do I do this now? Let's put the